Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like the sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. Alright, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are your co-hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
Hey, man. So, yeah, we got through the quarter of the way of the NFL last week. You know, I was trying to hold out 2 weeks or so, but, you know, we had to come back with it. I know it was a little late, but had to get that out. So, we back again. Interesting weekend coming up. NFL is still going.
We got the
quarter of the way with the NBA right now, and folks is cashing in the MLB.
Ain't that the truth?
A lot of money. Yes, we're gonna get into all of that, plus some emails. If you want to reach out to us, you can do it via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter @brotherslayman, or on the hotline 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us. I am doing this via Skype today. I'm a little under the weather, but still wanted to come in and give you all that good sports talk. So let's get to it.
All right. Let's get to the NFL, man. We got week 15, some pivotal games coming up.
Yes, sir.
Biggest change, Johnny Manziel gets the start. How you feeling, man? I know last week we were like, you know, we should have let him roll with Brian Hoyer, you know, but that game, the defense did its job.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had opportunities to win the game, and he didn't. So we figured, hey, let's go with Johnny Football.
Yeah, I mean, felt a little bad for Brian Hoyer. Unfortunately, the defense couldn't hold on that last Indianapolis stand, and Josh Gordon dropped a pretty good pass by Brian Hoyer that would have probably had them in field goal range to kick a field goal to win the game. So, I mean, all in all, Brian Hoyer really just hasn't played well. And, no. I mean, you got to get Johnny. I mean, Johnny Football is a first-round pick. You know, he gives you a spark. So, you know, we'll see. You know, this is his first test. It's going to be a big game for him. They're at home, which is nice, which is a benefit to him. But they are in a division game, which are tough. No. And, you know, the Bengals are licking at the chops to get a hit on Johnny Football.
Oh, you know they are. You know they are.
Yes, sir.
You know, I already saw Marvin Lewis came out and called him a midget. And then was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Let me apologize for that. I'm like, no, you said what you was feeling.
That wasn't PC.
No, I was like, wow, you actually taking a shot at another quarterback.
Right.
I'm like, okay. And I know Johnny Manziel. He's probably like, all right, I'm going to put that in my pocket.
Yeah.
About to play my first game. The coach already disrespected me.
I'm sure he knows that if he gets sacked and taken down, people going to do the Johnny Football symbol, the little money sign and all that stuff. And they're going to be talking all kinds of smack. The key for him is going to be able to keep his composure, because we saw an incident in the preseason where he flicked off the Redskins bench because they were chirping at him a lot. And I mean, now that you're starting the whole game, you're going to get that all game. So he's going to have to be able to keep his composure. And, you know, understand that if he takes some shots, just brush it off and move on to the next play.
No, he's going to have to. I mean, luckily he's at home, so I know the crowd will be behind him. You know, so, you know, we hoping for a first appearance. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's everybody going to be talking about this weekend. That's the game people going to be watching, see what he's going to do. And, you know, I'm curious.
I'm curious, too. Curious, you know, this man's guy, what he's going to do. I was of the opinion I thought he should have been picked in the third round or later. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be one of the people that's like, oh, he went off. They should have put him in a long time ago. Like, look, it's three games left.
Good game.
You know how this works. You play the first three, these last three games. All of a sudden, you're supposed to be big shit. And then during the offseason, all these dudes are just going to game plan for you. Yeah. Because he does have that advantage. There's no tape on him of, you know, actually like real NFL game tape, just what he did in college. You know, so he has that benefit of somewhat sneaking up on people.
Yeah, that is true. And I mean, for him, good game, bad game, it's his first start.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really not going to be too critical on him if he blows them out or if he plays like shit. Either way, it's just going to be like, look, he's a rookie, his first start. I'm not going to be too high or too low on whatever he does.
Right. So. Speaking of quarterbacks, that Geno Smith is still confident in himself. Says he's shown flashes of being a Pro Bowl QB, has the tools and what it takes to be that, but he admits he has been inconsistent.
Okay, so first it was top five quarterback, and now he's a Pro Bowl quarterback. This guy needs to learn to just keep his mouth shut and understand that there's a 99% chance he's probably not going to be starting next year, wherever that may be. It may not be with the Jets, but I mean, look, Geno Smith has shown flashes every now and then. Yes, I will give him that. He's shown flashes, but he's been way too inconsistent. I mean, wildly inconsistent. The Jets are one of the worst teams in the league. Really, you shouldn't even equate Pro Bowl with your name right now. That shouldn't even be in the sentence. Right now, you just need to worry about getting better and just playing consistent football. I mean, my goodness, he's terrible.
Yeah, he's been bad. He's had his ups and downs. Like, yes, has he shown flashes of being a good quarterback? Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Pro Bowl, I don't know. That's different. But he has shown flashes that he has what it takes to be a starter in this league. It's just been, you know, he hasn't put like three or four games back to back to back.
Exactly.
Of that. It's like, oh, he got flash. And then next game, you're like, God, this dude is terrible. Cam Newton was involved in a two-car crash on Tuesday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, sustained two fractures in his lower back. He wasn't found at fault for the accident. And I'm sure he won't be starting this weekend. Derek Anderson's getting a start, but I don't know if he'll be back the next two games.
Yeah, I think if they end up losing this game that they're playing, I think they may end up just sitting him for the duration of the season.
Yeah, they might. Because, I mean, they're only like a half game away.
Yeah.
4-1, so they're still in the mix.
And they play Tampa Bay, which they should win.
But yes.
But on the chance they do lose, I could see them, you know, maybe just taking precaution and sitting them out.
Yeah, and this feels kind of bad because he had probably his best game of the season maybe last week. He went nuts.
Yeah. People were like, this is why I picked you.
Yep. That's why I picked you. And that didn't happen. So, you know, hopefully he makes a full recovery. I know people compare his injury to Tony Romo's. I'm like, well, I know they relate NFL hits to car crashes, but he was in a literal car crash.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's different when some 285-pound linebacker hits you in your back versus a car.
Exactly.
Jay Gruden doesn't need to see RG3 in action to know what he can and cannot do on the field. I was like, wow.
Because, I mean, he's basically reiterating stuff he's been saying.
Yeah.
He know what he got in RG3. He doesn't really need to see much else. And he feels Colt McCoy gave him the best chance to win, period. Which means RG3, which means basically one of them is going.
Yeah. Like you said, man, they are at the point now where they probably are the worst organization in the NFL.
Worse than the Raiders.
Because they gave up a gang to get RG3.
A bunch of stuff.
And it was like five picks. It was like
I think it was like three first-round picks and two second-round picks. It was something astronomical.
Yeah, to move up like four spots.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I love the fact that Jeff Fisher brought out like all the picks they use on them players.
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't hear it. I didn't see that.
That crowd was funny. He brought them out when I guess St. Louis played them, and basically just brought out everybody who he used those picks on. That shit was funny.
Oh shit! I'm gonna have to look that up.
That shit was funny.
I mean, cause yeah, when you're that bad, you need all those picks.
Exactly.
One position is not gonna make it, and it's foul because he was compared as, you know, even some people were like he was a better pick than Andrew Luck,
which was completely dumb.
Yeah, and I was like, now Andrew Luck has, you know, you knew he wasn't gonna be terrible.
Exactly.
You knew he'd be solid. Mm-hmm. He would either be solid or he might be what he is now, which is, you know, eventually maybe turn into a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yep.
RG3, you were like, this dude could be a Hall of Fame quarterback or a bust.
Yeah, basically.
And he's kind of gone up and down. I wouldn't put him at bust yet, but
he needs a change of scenery.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what it is. I think he still has the talent to be a good quarterback.
I think so, too.
I think he showed that his rookie season. He can be a good quarterback for you. His confidence just has to get, you know, boosted back up. And he needs to be with a different team, different coach, different organization. He needs to be with a stable organization.
Yeah, an organization that's not going to put him on a pedestal.
Exactly. Like Arizona also would be a good place for him.
Mm-hmm. And he just needs a place where he can learn. I mean, you can't just come in and like all of a sudden, you know, he was probably going off of talent his first year.
Exactly.
You know, it worked out. It was similar to what he was doing in college, you know, but eventually you got to put in that work.
And similar to what you said about Johnny Football, they didn't have any tape on him, any film really. And he kind of brought, you know, he kind of took the NFL by storm. And then you see the next season, cats got film on him. They know what to do. And he got lit up.
Yeah, and these special spread offense and all that, these little kind of offenses, gimmick offenses, they work for a while.
Yeah.
But then once guys spend the offseason or whatnot or some time and got enough footage and they start studying you, then they'll be like, all right, we'll take this away. Now what you going to do? Nothing. More quarterback news. Bears offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer admits to criticizing Jay Cutler to an NFL Network reporter, creating the quote-unquote buyer's remorse news that we were talking about last week. Hey, I give him props for admitting it.
It was dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb.
It was dumb. But, I mean, look, I heard he got a little teary-eyed and all that stuff when he admitted it. It was like, oh, Lord. I mean, because he knew what he did was stupid. And, honestly, I heard Stephen A. Smith talk about it, and I agree 100%. These, quote-unquote, sources that I'm always talking about, I mean, these people get their information from somewhere, from players, coaches, you know, owners, whoever it may be. So I can't really knock him for saying what he said because everybody does it. But at the same time, he admitted it, which, again, was dumb on his part. But I think he's just frustrated with everything that's going on in Chicago. And, I mean, clearly it looks like there's going to be a new set of coaches there next season.
Yeah, because they're going to have to do something because that's – I mean, if you're frustrated, then fine. But you don't need to tell somebody outside the organization you're frustrated.
Exactly.
Like, well, we're regretting it. Like, well, you regretting it. God, man, he just – that situation just keeps getting worse and worse.
Yep. Dysfunctional organization.
Yeah, yeah, they are. But at least in a solid one with some quarterback bad news, you know, Drew Stanton has a strained right knee. He's day to day. I was watching some of that. I mean, the game was hard to watch, period. But
yes, it was.
I was listening to it and I was like, oh, nah, again. Yeah. And I heard, and against the Rams again. Rams knocked out your starting quarterback. Now you're back up.
Yeah, it was unfortunate for Drew Stanton. I felt bad for him. Ryan Lindley had to come in and look terrible. So, I mean, for Arizona, I'm just like, damn. Like, yeah. All your playoff run hopes are just falling. Because, Jesus Christ. It'd be one thing if maybe it was a running back or, you know, a wide receiver goes down or something. But the fact that you're now down to your third string quarterback, it's going to be tough for them. Very tough. They're really going to have to lean heavily on their defense.
Yeah, they are. Their defense has stepped up, but it's just, you know, guys have been getting hurt on that team all the time.
Yeah.
And they've been making it work. I mean, right now it looks like Bruce Arians might win himself another Coach of the Year.
I believe.
Because, damn, he is keeping this team afloat. 7-0 at home. Wow.
Not letting them quit.
No, he shouldn't. He shouldn't let them quit. And I know those guys got pride. They trying to get in the playoffs and make some noise.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, they won that Thursday night game. It was 12-6, but they won nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. I've seen with the Bengals, they are deciding to stop doing that 50-50 running back. They're going to start Jeremy Hill over Giovanni Bernard.
Kind of saw this coming. You know, Hugh Jackson likes to run the ball. And I mean, it wasn't really working. And I mean, I have the same thought that Hugh Jackson has. I like having, like, the one guy, and then you got to back up to spell him. I don't really care for the whole 50-50 split thing. I still like the whole one, you know, three down back, or if you're going to use them for two downs and spell them on third down or whatever you want to do. But give one guy the majority of the carries. It's 50-50 split don't work. And I mean, if you're going to split them between the two, Jeremy Hill makes the most sense. He's bigger. You know, he seems to be just as quick. Giovanni Bernard has the better hands and can catch the ball out of backfield better.
Yep. But
if you're just talking about strictly running the ball, Jeremy Hill's clearly the better bet.
Oh, yeah. And of course, for, you know, those people who drafted Giovanni Bernard in fantasy, you're like, nah, God, first he got hurt. Now he's getting demoted.
Yep.
Just the wrong time.
Yeah. And I mean, that goes to show you in the NFL, man. That's why it stands for not for long. Because Giovanni Bernard was the talk of the NFL going into this season. And now, come the end of the season, he ain't even starting no more.
Nope.
That's how quickly you can be replaced, period.
Yeah, it does. Speaking of running backs, the arbitrator upholds suspension of Adrian Peterson. So he's officially still done for the season. Won't be able to make any reinstated until April 1st. And he's talked about how he's frustrated and is just like, I want to. Now he's considering retiring.
Right. Like,
really? Wow.
I mean, I just think that's his frustration talking. But if he does choose to retire, I mean, I did read that he considered joining the Olympics, sprinting and all that stuff. So I don't know. I mean, we saw Barry Sanders do it. It was just like, I just don't want to play anymore. And I mean, Adrian Peterson, he's been great, but he is creeping up to that 30 years old mark. Everybody knows once you hit that 30 years old after, as a running back, that's when people are like, I don't think you that good anymore. So,
yeah, some of the quotes he had in here, I feel like they're handling the situation absolutely wrong. I think I've been made an example out of. It kind of baffles me how I have nothing but love for Ray Rice. I'm happy he has a chance to play. But it's like, how did Ray Rice get reinstated before me? A team has a chance to pick him up, but I don't have the opportunity to come back until April. When has that happened in any other case in the NFL ever? And he talked about pursuing legal action. I really don't know. That's something I have to sit back and talk to my team about. I haven't talked to anyone today. Any type of process with the NFL is not the way to go. I'm like, wow, this dude is just, I mean, he was even like, said he's frustrated, talked about doing the Olympics, doing real estate.
Yeah.
Like, damn, bro.
I mean, I do kind of feel what he's saying, though. I'm like, you got Ray Rice on tape punching his wife. And, you know, he's back in and I can't get back in for disciplining my son. Granted, it was excessive.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not saying he was doing it to discipline the child out of some type of love, you know, just trying to discipline his son. He just went overboard. Ray Rice just flat out hit his wife.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can understand what Adrian Peterson is saying on that aspect. Like, you let this fool in before me? Really? So I get it too.
I consider retiring from the NFL. I still made $8 million this year. Thought about getting back into the real estate I'm already in. Thought about getting into that. Thought about going after the Olympics. You only live once. It might be time for me to pursue that as well. I love playing football. Don't get me wrong, but this situation is deeper than that. For me, it's like, why should I continue to be a part of an organization or a business that handles players the way they do? making money off the field anyway. Why not continue to pursue that going on Olympic dream and pursue other dreams and hang up the cleats? Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Talking about doing the 200 and the 400.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Okay. Yeah, I feel him. I mean, to put on that BS list for like 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, okay, now we're going to punish you. You're like, what were you doing?
What did you call that beforehand?
Because, you know, basically you're on paid leave. To me, that's what it is. You on paid leave, and then we'll come back and punish you. And, you know, pre-Ray Rice tape, he would have played those 8 games.
Yep.
And then be like, oh, you know what? We suspended you now, so you're missing the last 4. Or whatever, how many games. But now it's like, well, we'll sit you out. You still get a check. Even though they're kind of like, well, I am being punished. What's up?
Exactly.
But yeah, yeah, I hope he doesn't leave. I know he was still somewhat productive. I know people are like, he's on the downside, but I know there's talk that he just might get cut. And there are teams who will pick him up.
Oh, without question.
Many teams. So I'm kind of surprised that there's at least no, they can't get like a 6-round pick or something for him.
For him, yeah.
You know, but I guess it's that cap hit, and they don't want to deal with that. But somebody's going to get him, that's for sure.
Yep.
Ndamukong Suh says his agent, Jimmy Sexton, will decide where he plays next season. Like, so basically, whoever pays me the most, that's where I'm going.
That's all that means. Whoever giving me the most money, that's where I'm going.
Yeah, but I'm kind of like, dude, don't you want to at least you know, see some teams, whatnot, take a look where you have a chance to win a Super Bowl, or you just like, well, Tampa Bay give me the most money, so I'm headed there.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he's not just going to be like, oh, okay, they paying me the most, so I'm just going there and not look at who it is. I mean, I'm sure if, you know, because let's be honest, once Ndamukong Suh hits the market, he's going to be a sought after commodity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of teams are going to line up to offer him deals. So I'm like, there are going to be playoff teams in there that's going to offer him contracts. So I think he's going to look at the team and say, okay, I'm not just going to go to an ass team.
Right.
But I think he's just going to be like, all right, where can I go where I can be in a playoff situation, but I can also be, you know, one of the highest paid defensive linemen in the league.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he got to do that.
I mean, he's not an idiot. So, I mean, we have seen guys just take money and go to weak teams, but I don't see him just like going to the Raiders.
No, I don't see that. But, you know, in football, folks just take dough. You'd be like, he went where?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, well, all right.
That is true.
Now, however, if the Raiders end up trying to get Jim Harbaugh, you know, which is all that talk going on, that might be a different story. But,
yeah.
Speaking of paydays, I saw your Broncos sign Chris Harris Jr., 5-year, $42.5 million extension.
And the man earned every penny of it. Undrafted free agent out of Kansas, has worked his way up the ladder. Champ Bailey called him one of the best defensive backs in the league, and I'm loving it. I'm like, cool. This locks up our defensive backfield for at least a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Got him a $10 million signing bonus. $24 million of that contract is guaranteed. You know, y'all got an interesting, you know, offseason with the two Thomas boys and all that. So, you know, try to lock up who you can right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, kudos to John Elway taking care of his people. And, I mean, people forget Chris Harris tore his ACL before the Super Bowl. So, I mean, he's really bounced back from where he was. And it doesn't even look like he's been affected by it.
Oh, yeah. You know, and then a couple of news of people going to the IR. Saw Monty Ball. He's done for the season.
Yep. And the way C.J. Anderson playing, Monty Ball, again, like we always say, with Giovanni Bernard, he's basically been replaced, and he's going to have to fight for a spot next season.
Yep. I mean, he was that hot dude last year. It was like, well, let's see what he can do. And, okay, because yep. Noshan Moreno somehow had a good season and held on. Now C.J. Anderson is there, and, you know, of course Monty Ball is going to be in the mix still.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Got to have a depth on that in that running back position. But, man, and I've seen Navarro Bowman. Now they're putting him on an injured reserve for the season. Like, ooh.
That's a big blow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the way their season's going, to me, it wouldn't make much of a difference anyway.
No, they put defensive tackle Glenn Dorsey on IR, too. Like, it's just hitting rough.
Yep.
I know I've seen some interviews with Colin Kaepernick and asking about him. And he needs to play well because, really, he's auditioning for his next coach and GM.
Pretty much.
Because if Harbaugh goes, you're like, you better look good, man.
Yeah, and Kaepernick was very upset after that Raider game, as I'm sure most people saw.
Yeah, I mean, as he should be. They all should be. Everybody in our locker room should be pissed at the level of effort and just the way they played. I mean, there was already frustration about how they played versus Seattle on Thanksgiving, and then this game, it's like, what are we doing?
What the fuck are we doing out here? I asked you, what in the fuck are we doing here?
Exactly.
Super Bowl expectations, and right now we're probably not even going to make the playoffs. Which is, you know, kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah, very sad.
So looking at week 15, you know, team's still making a push. You know, Cardinals already got their win. But there's some interesting games coming up. You got Steelers at the Falcons. You know, both of these teams are fighting for first place in their division.
Oof, I got Pittsburgh winning that game.
Yeah, because I've seen Julio Jones is kind of iffy.
Yep.
In playing that game. You're like, ugh.
He may be a decoy, if anything.
Yeah, I saw that. And you're like, man, that's great.
Yeah.
Let's see. Dolphins at the Patriots.
I got the Patriots winning, but that's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, that should be. I mean, the Dolphins got to play for some kind of pride and trying to, you know, make noise to keep themselves in that mix for the wild card.
Exactly.
And that would be a big win.
Huge win.
You know, Raiders at the Chiefs. You know, let's see if Raiders can sweep them.
If they do, that would that'd be ridiculous. Yeah. Andy Reid would be ashamed of himself.
He would. You know, they're 7-6 now, still in the mix.
But they should win the game, especially at home.
Mm-hmm. Need some help from y'all. The Broncos at the Chargers. Big division game.
And definitely got Denver in that one. No question about it.
Yeah, ooh, that's going to be an excellent game, man.
A really good game. I will be watching. Believe it.
Texans at the Colts. Interesting division game as well. Colts are pretty much, you know, riding nice. But, you know, Houston 7-6 can cut this gap down.
They could. They really could. And the way Indianapolis has been playing, it wouldn't shock me if Houston pulled out an upset.
No, they're going to do it. I know Jadeveon Clowney's been shut down for the season, and they're frustrated with all that.
He got terrible micro-fracture surgery. You'll never want to hear about that.
Nope, he's already missed the offseason.
They said he may pull him next season.
Yeah, and you're like, dude, this isn't – you need an offseason time to get better. All you're doing is rehabbing in the offseason, that's not helping at all.
Yeah.
This one should be easy win. Jags at the Ravens. I had to mention it because the Ravens are still playing for playoff position. Ravens should just smack these dudes and go home.
Sit. They should, especially at home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that should be an easy W.
Yep. We talked about the Bucks at the Panthers.
Carolina should win that game. I mean, even with Derek Anderson playing, he's been a pretty good backup throughout his career, and I actually see him putting up some pretty good numbers against Tampa Bay.
He can, man. I mean, John Stewart went off. They got to keep riding that train. I think D'Angelo Williams is back, so he's going to put it in the hands of the running game.
Yeah.
Packers at the Bills.
I mean, got Green Bay winning that game. I mean, clearly nobody has proven they can stop Aaron Rodgers yet. Buffalo has a very good defense, but I don't see them shutting down Aaron Rodgers.
No, I can see them making it difficult, but I don't know if their offense can do anything to help out. If they are going to beat the Packers, that offense has got to give them something.
Exactly.
Bengals at the Browns. Johnny Football.
As much as people love Johnny Football, I got Cincinnati winning this game. I think Andy Dalton can pull it out. And, I mean, they will be on the road. But I think after that shellacking they took against the Steelers, I think they're bound to bounce back.
No, I agree. I think Bengals really need this game. They're sitting in first place now. They want to hold on. You know, Johnny Manziel may give them some magic, but I don't know about that.
Exactly.
The Vikings at the Lions.
I love my boy Teddy B, but I do not see him winning this game. Not against Detroit at home.
No, I think Detroit's going to take this game as well. What should have been probably the best game of this week, and maybe still will be, 49ers at Seahawks.
It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a close game. But, I mean, at Seattle, the way the Seahawks have been playing, they're starting to get healthy again. You can see their confidence on defense. They swaggered back. I don't see them losing this game. It's going to be close, but I don't think they're losing.
Yeah, Seattle's won three straight. San Francisco's lost two. Seattle was just starting to get in playoff form. Frisco was just fighting to win a game. Yeah, I think Seattle's going to take this one.
Big division matchup.
Oh, yeah, big division matchup. You talking about this or the Sunday night game?
The Sunday nighter.
Oh, yeah. This probably is going to be the game of the night. Cowboys at Eagles. This is for all the marbles. Well, I mean, not really, but.
I got Philly winning that game.
Yeah, yeah. They're both tied at 9-4. Philly right now holds a tiebreaker because they beat them. They get this joint and actually own the tiebreaker for real. You know, we've already cast our doubts on Dallas getting into the playoffs.
Yep.
If they're going to get in, Sunday night is going to be that night.
That's right. This is a must win for the Dallas Cowboys. Must win.
And a game that sounded good on paper at the beginning of the season, but now it's just a guy like, what the hell? Saints at the Bears on Monday night.
Even Brandon Marshall said they shouldn't be playing on Monday night.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, damn.
Like, well, everybody gets a chance to play on Monday night. God, this game should be a shootout.
But it's probably going to not be.
Yep. You know, Bears defense is butt. Saints defense is butt. Saints on the road, which is never good for them. Seems like Jimmy Graham all of a sudden is not in the game plan anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's really pissing me off fantasy-wise.
Oh, man, he's got to be frustrating the hell out of cats. You know, those of us who have Brandon Marshall, like, oh, thanks. Now you're hurt.
And then Chicago has Jay Cutler. So. This is a complete toss-up. I don't know who to pick in this game. Whoever wins, it doesn't really even matter.
It matters for the Saints, and they're tied. I'll probably lead to the Saints on this one.
But when they're playing,
I don't know. Yeah, Jay Cutler could probably have a nice game. It's just based to me. It's just whose defense is going to play better.
Yeah. Whose defense is going to make some key stops.
Yeah, because they need that. All right, y'all. Some good NFL talk. We're going to take a quick music break. We're going to come back, get into some NBA news. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
And now, proper propaganda. Watch it.
Yo, we handle it. These brothers are fabulous. Dilated, showing you a rhyme travelers. Worlds to spit tunes from sunlight to moon. Bussing off stage like gunfight saloons. Pull my mic back. You like that? Journalists, we're journalists too. We can strike back. Hardcore reporters with orders from headquarters. Behind enemy lines, sidestepping the borders. With press passes, we bring it to you as it happens. The streets love my crew for music and rapping. Street commander / beat expander. Here to fight the slander with the proper propaganda. What's happening? You got a question, then ask it. The news is just a TV show. Get past it. And this from a quiet wartime journalist. Headlines. Wake up, refuse, and resist. Like this, like this, like this, like this. We kick finance, action, and scores is sports. Politics, new fashion, and war reports. Entertainment, when we come to perform. Watch.
The man in the biz, store watch.
Triclops Media, record tape or TV, net radio, CD or DVD, Ira Science.
White rhymes on picket signs.
This is why Babu is in scratch and keeping time. The pen
is mightier than the sword, cause the pen gives the word, sending swords to war. They twisted it when he quoted Mao Zedong, and said political power comes from the barrel of a gun. The officer meet his fate by 44-38. It wasn't dirty deed, but that don't need a dirty case. Witnesses against the state for sure. Facts overlooked, so the judge could throw the book. Perhaps for politicians with something to prove. In the city where they blew the roof off a moon.
Yo, questions when answers lead to more questions.
Why'd it take months to remember a confession? Huh? The principle's the same even without the name. But I still say, M-U-M-I-A, I have to fight. It could easily be me. But just being the thinker that's speaking it freely. Although I use my brain before using a fist. Don't push it, wake up, refuse and resist.
I make the people listen, boogie down, let me go. I make the people listen, boogie down, let me go. I make the people listen, boogie down, let me go.
We got finance, action, and scores of sport. Politics, new fashion, and war reports. Entertainment, when we come to perform, watch.
And the illest weatherman in the biz on Stormwatch.
Welcome back, y'all. Brother Fleming Sports Happy Hour. Y'all want to hit us up? Talk some NFL. A few weeks left. Who y'all got? You feeling good about your team? Frustrated? Let us know. Email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Get at us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
You know I'm feeling good about my team. How you feeling about yours? Definitely hit us up and let us know. Talk some smack. You know what's up?
All right, so we got an email, y'all.
Whoop.
What up, brothers? I should have known Jonathan was going to jump on me for misquoting D. Rose. LOL. Fair enough. In my defense, I did say that I could remember the quote exactly. But I do agree I shouldn't put words in his mouth, either quote him properly or not at all. That's my bad. It's all gravy.
That's all good, man. I ain't tripping.
On the other hand, as far as Johnson's request for us to back off your boy D. Rose, that's a negative, sir. No one is off limits for hoopla. LeBron, Kobe, Barkley, D. Rose, and the entire Eastern Conference are easy targets here. It's what we do. It's never personal. It's all business. Oh, well. Oh, yeah, them dudes is hilarious. My Thunder will definitely get in the playoffs. If anything, they will catch Phoenix by the end of the season. One thing that we're not considering is the inevitable injuries to other squads. With the way the season has gone, there's no telling what teams will be affected next. If our worst is behind us, then as other teams face their injury challenges, we can move up even higher, even possibly passing Portland, as Aldridge is injury prone. Yeah. I agree that Bosch didn't want to be the third wheel again. But to me, that's part of the problem. Being the third wheel got you two championships, so what's the problem? But I also agree that had he gone to Houston, that big three wouldn't be the same as Miami. So do you think perhaps he didn't feel that Harden and Howard were good enough to allow him to make the finals in the West and therefore had no desire to be the third wheel and not compete for a title? I would be less critical for his decision if that was the case. Otherwise, to me, he's saying I'd rather be the man than win. Which was the beef I had with Kobe while Shaq was with the Lakers. As always, fellas, Hoopla has nothing but love for the brothers Layman. Hey, man, shout out to you again, sir.
Shout out to the Hoopla crew. Appreciate the email.
Oh, yeah. As far as your Thunder goes, yeah, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm pretty sure they'll catch Phoenix. I don't know if they'll get high enough to get a first-round home court advantage. But, you know, the way the West is, it don't matter. I mean, OKC's been there enough times to where first round specifically, they don't need home court.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way this conference is, it's all about matchups.
Exactly.
If they draw the right matchup, then here you go.
Now, but I do agree that as far as the injuries go, I mean, the way the season has gone, I could see an injury, you know, really hurting one of these teams down the stretch. So it's going to be interesting to see if these guys can hold up.
Yeah, it will. As for your Bosch, we all know, we can all admit, Dwight Howard and James Harden is not the same as LeBron James, Dwayne Wade.
No.
I mean, those were at the time, they were two of the top three players in the league.
Yep.
Right now, I don't know if I could put James Harden in the top three category. He's close. He's trying to get there. I don't know if I put him there. Dwight Howard is not Orlando Dwight Howard.
Nope.
And, yeah, let's be real. Out West, no, they not. I don't think I would have put him ahead of Yo Thunder, straight up. And the way Golden State is playing, nah, they weren't going to beat Golden State.
Or Memphis. I don't necessarily think Chris Bosh, you know, wants to be the man and think that's more important than winning. I think he wants to be the one to lead a team, you know, to win. So, I mean, he's got that competitive nature, as most people do. And I think it's as opposed to, you know, it's not about necessarily winning. Plus, I'm like, he stayed on the East, so he actually improved his chances of winning better by staying on the East than going to the West. I mean, would it have made a big difference if he had teamed up with Harden and Dwight Howard? I think they'd be pretty good, but as far as, you know, dominance and comparing that big three to the one Miami had, it's just no comparison. I mean, defensively, they wouldn't be able to play at the same level that the Miami's big three did.
No.
With that being said, I mean, I think Chris Bosh, you know, made his chances a little bit better by staying in the East, and I think he knew he couldn't just go somewhere else and just be, you know, by himself, which is why he stayed with D-Wade. You know, they added a Luol Deng and other pieces around him. But he seems to be now like he is the guy. He's leading that team. And they're having a pretty good season so far. So I think he wanted to just, like I said before, get out of LeBron James' shadow and lead a team on his own accord.
Yeah, I think guys want to be the lead. I think it's easy for us to sit here and be like, why don't you just hop on that train and get you a title?
Yeah.
Like, but then, you know, let's be honest. I look at it and I'm like, when I think of the Miami Heat team and them winning two titles, he ain't the first or second name that comes up.
Exactly.
Was he an integral part in them winning? Yes. But I'm not going to be like, how much credit does he get? I'm not giving him that much.
There you go. Thank you.
And it's just, you know, guys want to, I want to see guys like, I want to be the guy or the second guy to lead a team. That means more.
Yeah.
You know, look how much we crapped it on LeBron for leaving to a team that had talent. Oh, you can't win on your own. You whack. it makes a difference.
Yeah.
It does make a difference. But yeah, thanks for that, man. We definitely will be getting up with y'all pretty soon.
Yes, sir.
This week, I mean, this may be the title of the show this week, but we just get into some bad news. It's just drama with these big city teams. I mean, people are wondering what's going on. Do the top big cities need to have their teams playing well? Because they not. I'll start with Brooklyn, because Brooklyn, we're going to get – it just gets better after that. Nets letting teams know that Darren Williams, Brook Lopez, Joe Johnson are available via trade. Damn.
Yeah. It's like, wow.
How much of a difference 1 year can make?
I mean, seriously. They went in getting those guys and assumed they would be, you know, title contenders. You know, you had a lot of analysts picking them to be title contenders, and my goodness, how the mighty have fallen.
Mm-hmm. But
for those guys, what value are you really going to get? Brook Lopez is injury prone. I know, because he's on my fantasy league team and he's on injury reserve right now. Joe Johnson has never lived up to that big ass contract Atlanta gave him.
No, he never was.
And never was going to. Mm-mm. And then Darren Williams, I don't know what happened to him, but he looked like he just got old overnight.
Yeah, no, he does. He looks like that. Ever since he just got injured, he went to New Jersey at the time, started having ankle issues and just never was the same.
I will say kudos to Utah for trading him at the right time. They knew when to let go.
Oh, man, that's probably one of the best star trade moves ever.
I mean, granted, Utah still ain't really all that great, but
yeah, I mean, Derek Favors has not panned out to that extent.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're going to trade a star early, I mean, you got value, and he would just be tanking from there.
Exactly.
I'm like, wow, man. And then we get to the Knicks.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it just got worse. I think they finally ended their 10-game losing streak last night. they versus are five, Boston.
They are 5-20. What the hell? Like, I mean, I knew this year was going to be bad, but you didn't think it'd be this bad.
No, I didn't think. We figured they wouldn't be in the playoffs. I mean, Orlando's better than them right now.
Everybody's better than them right now.
Yeah, they just ahead of Detroit and Philly, which ain't saying much.
And Philly, they got the same amount of losses as Philly.
I mean, Dennis Rodman comes out and cusses them out and just clowns them. I mean, people are already questioning Derek Fisher. You know, our guy's tuning him out. We don't like the triangle. It don't work. We tired of it. Carmelo being selfish. We already seen the situation with him and Tim Hardaway Jr. Talking about get the damn rebound. You get it. And just, it's bad.
What did I say going into this season? I said, number one, Phil is a rookie GM. When he traded, everybody was like, yeah, he got rid of Raymond Felton. Like, yeah, he also got rid of Tyson Chandler. And you clearly did not find a replacement for him. Number two, Derek Fisher is a rookie head coach. You knew it wasn't just going to be all peaches and cream. We saw what happened with Jason Kidd last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then number three, they really didn't have any talent. They ain't got no cap space, so they couldn't sign anybody. And I mean, as far as Melo goes, he had to have known re-signing that this year was going to be a mulligan. He had to know.
No, he knew. He knew. Everybody was like, your chances, they couldn't do anything this season to make a trade. They just keep that cap space. They have to figure something out so at least once the year is over, there are at least some goodwill, some positivity to draw on some free agents.
Yeah, it's not just Phil and that's it.
Yeah, Phil is taking on this chance. And, you know, for all them people talking about trades with Carmelo, I'll tell you straight up. If I'm the Bulls, I'm not trading for you.
No.
You had your chance to come. Now I'm not giving out Jimmy Butler balling. Pau Gasol has been a great, you know, backup piece.
He might be the season.
Yeah.
And then you hear Tick who's balling. Yeah. He's doing well. Aaron Brooks is balling.
Doug McDermott.
They ain't trading nothing for not. Nope. You should have just signed outright with Chicago. If you want, everybody said, if you wanted to win now, go to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to win now. So you chose to go back to New York. And for the record, in regards to this triangle offense, I said before the season, this is the first year ever the triangle offense being run without Tex Winters. And we see what happens. It looks like crap.
Yeah, I think I remember what Kurt Rambis tried to do it in Minnesota. That didn't work. You know, at least you've got Phil there, but it's not Phil running it.
Thank you. Tex Winters was the guy who ran the offense, and he is not there anymore. So, like I said, Phil can know the offense ins and out, and so can Derek Fisher. But I'm like, Tex Winters is the guy who really knew that offense and knew how to make it work. So, whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, for Dennis Rodman, like, I picked it up in 15 minutes. I'm like, dude, all they asked you to do was rebound, play defense. I mean, all these people who are like after the fact, they retired and never asked about the triangle. Oh, it's simple. I was like, when Phil was coaching, everybody who came to it was like, it's going to take you a year to really figure out the triangle.
Yep.
It wasn't like, hey, you come in, it's simple. It's just Princeton offense passing. I'm like, nah, man, it take a minute. And there were guys who struggled. It's not like, oh, they dumb. They can't figure out the triangle. Many people have tried the triangle and have struggled with it.
Yep.
And, you know, there is a big chasm between Derek Fisher trying to run the triangle and Phil Jackson.
Exactly.
You know, Phil Jackson got rings, you know, and knows how to manage egos. One of the best coaches ever at managing egos. You know, yeah. Derek Fisher is green. Literally. Like, I just took off my jersey, put on a suit. I'm coaching. Yes.
And I will say again, Phil Jackson got all them 11 rings with Tex Winters right next to him.
Yeah, you've been saying that.
Oh.
And then we got to go out to Los Angeles.
Oh, Lord.
With, man, came out this week. Kobe rips his teammates, calling them soft like Charmin. I see why they ain't won. We lost 20 games. This team's soft like Charmin. No.
Cup check. These niggas ain't doing shit for me. Like, damn.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear. I wanted to hear what, you know, other players would, you know, had said about it. And it was interesting hearing Kenny Smith was like, that sounded like every week at practice.
And I figured a lot of people's practices, they talk a lot of smack to each other and whatever and blah, 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 blah. I mean, I'm sure it happens.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Kobe tirading and all that stuff, I don't know if it's to that extent every practice.
No, but, you know, I heard he said the second team, he didn't like the way the effort was given. And as him being the leader of the team, if you see guys not playing with effort, it is your job to come out and be like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the leader being like, give more effort. I don't like what you're doing. And calling them out. And I guess, like, all right, bring it back.
Out of smack, talking about, can't nobody guard me and all this other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Swaggy P. I mean, let's just be honest. Swaggy P, Nick Young, all of that works in Hollywood.
Yep.
You know, with the when he was with the Wizards, it was just too many. It was too much drama on the Wizards.
Yep.
Andre Blatch, all of that mess.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers, you know, no. Probably because they were just trying to get good. And at the time, all he could do was shoot.
Yep.
And do nothing else. You know, last year, there was no Kobe Bryant. So they needed him to just score, and that works. So the fact that he's not playing that great of defense doesn't matter. They're just like, we need points. Like, all right.
You saw that game against the Spurs yesterday. He had like 29 points, like one board, one assist. Like, Jesus Christ.
And then Kobe shot with like 7 of 22, some ugly number. Someone was like, way to call your teammates out, Kobe. And then you put up crap. And then that lucky ass, shout out to the CEO on that. He talking via Twitter, and he was like, yeah, I was ready. Like, go ahead, because I was like, let's not let Kobe break the record. No, luckily, he didn't. And I was like, don't be breaking Jordan's record playing us. But I didn't expect to take the L either.
Yeah, Swaggy P put up that lucky shot, and it was just like, damn.
Yeah, it was great different. He just threw it all of a sudden. Yeah, what? I'm like, dude. Don't act like you were supposed to do that. I plan that to happen.
Oh, man.
Look at me. Great. I'm Kobe Bryant. Bail out three. Oh, this is just what I do.
That was great. I mean, hey, win's a win.
No. You take W's, although
they did the like, opposite.
Folks like Magic Johnson, who, you know, being in Los Angeles, here in LA radio, he was not the first to say that.
Nope.
But he was like, I hope Lakers lose every game. Because if you're going to lose, lose. I'm serious. And you're like, okay. So I'm like, are people happy? Is Magic like, ah, damn it. Nick Young made that shot. Damn it. Why couldn't he miss it?
Now, I believe in progression. I'm a guy who believes that I'm not for the whole, if you're just going to lose all the way. I'm like, look, if you're going to buy into rebuilding a la the 76ers, buy in fully to the concept of rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, if you have a team that's, you know, say middle of the pack, but they're showing progress, you know, it's a different story. I mean, in the Lakers scenario, they're really... they're pretty much up Schitt's Creek only because they don't have enough assets to really be able to be mediocre. Mm-hmm. And from that, I think when you see a team like, for instance, like the Phoenix Suns last year, who you saw they had young talent and yeah, they were making a run for the playoffs, but they ended up kind of in the middle of the pack, but you saw progression and growth. But they had young assets. And that's the thing that the Lakers lack. They have Nick Young, Kobe, and nothing else, really. So even drafting-wise, I mean, Julius Randle, unfortunately, he got hurt this year. But we still don't know with him.
Nope.
We know what he's going to do. We still don't know how he's going to be. Is he going to be an Anthony Bennett type player? We don't know what he's going to be in the league yet. So that's a question mark. I mean, besides him, what other young pieces do you really have? You don't have any. So, I mean, I can understand Magic's take on, you know, if you're just going to lose, just keep on losing. I'm like, they're in a situation where either way, it really doesn't make a difference in my eyes.
Yeah, because, I mean, straight up, if they were really trying to lose, if they were really going to start over, Kobe Bryant shouldn't have not have been back.
Exactly.
I mean, you got Mitch Kupchak talking about he thinks Kobe will not play beyond his contract through next season. And I'm like, why are you saying that? Why is everybody like, he's only going to be here two more years. I'm like, wait, so you overpaid him?
Yep.
Because, you know, let's be honest, because Time Warner Cable gave us this huge contract and we need to make the Time Warner Cable people happy.
Yep.
But and show that, oh, we're going to show that we take care of our guys, but we can't fully commit to growing because we got a guy here who is going to demand that I put a winner on the field.
Exactly.
You know, like,
that's why I say they're up Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. And they could have let it play out like, like the Colts.
Yep.
You know, who they were strapped for money. You know, that was just the eye of the storm thing.
Yeah.
Peyton got hurt. You know, they had the number one pick, which happened to be one of those drafts where a stud, where there's a clear cut number one guy.
And honestly, it's very eerily similar to the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
At Duncan.
Tim Duncan got hurt. I mean, Dave Robinson got hurt. They ended up, you know, the lottery somehow, ping pong, whatever. And they weren't the worst team.
Nope.
Ended up getting the number one pick.
And they got a bona
fide with a fucking stud.
Yep.
Where it was a clear, like, all right, it's him and then everybody else.
Yep.
And they got him, and, you know, Dave Robinson was like, I'm willing to pass the torch. You can be the guy.
Yep.
Now, one, there is no guy like that in the draft for the Lakers. And two, we all know Kobe Bryant is not going to do with Dave Robinson and be like, okay, here you go.
Exactly. And on a third, just because you have a top five pick does not guarantee you're going to get a great player.
No.
Great players pop up in the middle of the draft, late in the draft, second round. I mean, it happens. So, you know, you never know. The draft is always a gamble just because you have a high pick. I mean, granted, your chances are higher of getting a top-notch prospect, but it almost seems like the guys with the most potential are picked first. And picked high, and the guys who you kind of know what they're going to do and you know how good they're going to be are picked later on. And a lot of the times it seems like the guys who are picked later on that you kind of know what they're going to give you end up being the solid players.
Yeah, no, that's right. And what Jonathan and I did was we went and pulled some of the draft results. No, we went back as far as 10 years ago.
Yep.
And looked at all the drafts. I got all the drafts in front of me. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back starting from 2013 and move on back. And we're going to take a look at all the drafts. We're not going to take up too much of y'all time, but, you know, see the guys who, you know, were late picks that turned out to be solid guys and, you know, maybe even point out the ones that were busts.
Exactly.
So let's start 2013 draft. That was the famous Anthony Bennett.
Which a lot of people said that draft wasn't going to be very good.
Nope.
And I mean, for me, the most notable people in that draft, you got the Alphabet. I can't even name. Who was picked 15th by Milwaukee.
Who's been playing well this season.
And pretty good. And then you got Tim Hardaway Jr., who was picked 24th.
Yep.
I mean, besides that.
Mason Plumlee was all right.
Mason Plumlee was okay.
And then the higher ones, I mean, Michael Carter Williams was picked 11th.
Yeah.
You know, Trey Burke was 9. He's showing some signs. Ben McLemore fell to 7th.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, been all right. He's
been playing better this season.
You know, and people thought Oladipo, and he still ain't really shown too much yet.
Yeah.
But, that, you know, that's it.
Exactly.
Going into the 2012 draft, which is a little bit better.
Yep.
All right, go ahead. Who you see?
All right, so, I mean, besides Anthony Davis, number one pick, I mean, you have Bradley Beal beyond the top 15. For those of y'all out there, I really looked more so after 15 and under to see who really stood out to me. I mean, as far as below this one, Miles Plumlee had picked at 26. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the second best player so far in this draft, Draymond Green, picked in the second round, number 35.
By the Warriors. Great pickup.
I mean, that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. I mean, you got, you know, Bradley Beal, of course. I mean, this was a great draft, I must say. Damian Lillard, Harrison Barnes, Andre Drummond.
I'm saying, and Damian Lillard went 6. Yep. This is what we're talking about. Like, everybody wants the first. You got to have the first pick. Damian Lillard went 6. Like, look, everybody was going to pick Anthony Davis number 1.
Yep.
So, within the last few years, he's been like, he's one of them few, like, obviously this dude is going to be a baller. You know, what happened with Charlotte? I picked Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
And then Bradley Beal was picked next.
Yep. Deion Waiters, you know, show some talent. You look, Thomas Robinson was 5th.
Thank you.
Right after that, Damian Lillard. You know, Harrison Barnes went 7th, who has shown flashes, but coming out of high school, he was Andrew Wiggins.
Yep.
You know, yep, Andre Drummond fell to 9th. What was didn't he have some of them same thing with DeMarcus Cousins? Some of them, like, I don't know if he's motivated enough.
Yeah, he immature. I bet if you did a redraft, he'd probably be a top 3 pick.
Yep. Austin Rivers, number 10. Nothing. I mean, look at that. Kendall Marshall went 13th.
Yep.
I'm like, come on, Roy White out the league.
Come on now. So you don't have to necessarily have a high pick. Go back to 2011. Kyrie was the number 1 pick. But look at this. Your boy Kawhi Leonard was 15. To him, you had Nikola Vucevic, who's balling.
16.
Kenneth Faried was picked 22nd.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler was picked 30th. Chandler Parsons was picked 38th. And how about this? Isaiah Thomas was the last pick in the draft. How about that?
I'm saying. Even look at Norris Cole, went 28th. He was solid.
Yep.
Is this your boy Nikolai Mirotić?
Yep.
Yep, went 23rd. Tobias Harris went 19th. Klay Thompson. Was Klay Thompson a number top 10 pick? No. 11th. And all this talk of Golden, you know, Lakers. I wish we had Klay Thompson. Like, well, first of all, who the hell was going to trade with you to get you Klay Thompson?
Seriously.
I mean, Tristan Thompson, you know, to me, he's showing kind of signs because LeBron there.
Yeah.
Jonas Valanciunas with 5th. Brandon Knight, who, you know, has been playing well in Milwaukee.
Yep.
Kemba Walker, 9th, was a solid pick. But, I mean, come on. Jimmy Vredett.
Yeah, seriously.
Derek Wilton. Now, watch, everybody. The farther back we go, you will notice – the pick you do not want to have is number 2. Because 2012, that was Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. 2011, Derek Williams.
Yep.
Like, oh my God. So just I'm gonna let y'all know how that worked out. You go to the 2010 draft.
John Wall.
John Wall was the obvious number 1 guy.
Yep.
You got Greg Monroe at 7th.
Yep.
Gordon Hayward went 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George stood. Yep. Went 10th.
Stud. Then you got Eric Bledsoe went 18th. Avery Bradley went 19th. You got Grievous Vasquez went 28th. Lance Stevenson went 40th.
You can tell who won that draft. Yeah. The damn Indiana Pacers.
Jeremy Lin went undrafted in that one.
Mm-hmm.
For the Hoopla crew, I know Spirit will like this. Ish Smith. Was signed, was undrafted in that draft.
I'm saying Larry Sanders went 15th.
Yep.
Patrick Passett 14th. Ed Davis for the Lakers, 13th. Yep. Xavier Henry, 12th. But, I mean, look, you don't draft this high to get a role player who's going to play 10 minutes. I mean, oh, my God, that was funny. Yep, number 2 pick, Evan Turner.
Jeez Louise.
I mean, Derek Favors went third, but I mean, even he hasn't made an impact. Oh, look at this. This is more Laker players. Number four, Wesley Johnson.
Bust.
Damn. I'm looking at this. You got three lottery picks, three top 13 picks from the 2010 draft are role players on the Lakers. This is 2010. This ain't 28, 2006, 2010. What happened? Yeah. Nothing. Look how good the Lakers are. Damn, that's sad.
Jeez.
All right, going back to nine. Blake Griffin, obvious number one pick. That was easy.
This is the infamous three-point guard draft by Minnesota.
Oh, yes. So let's who went number two? Not James Harden. Not Tyreke Evans. Not Steph Curry. Not DeMar DeRozan. But who? Hashim Tabeet. Hey, the number two you don't want. Number three, James Harden, Oklahoma City. Number four, Tyreke Evans. And then we got the back-to-back, Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn by Minnesota. And who comes after that at seven? Steph Curry.
The best point guard of the whole draft.
The damn could be MVP of the league.
Seriously.
I mean, Jordan Hill went eighth, but I mean, look, between right after him, DeMar DeRozan. I mean, come on. Brandon Jennings went 10.
Minnesota picked Ty Lawson 18. Flipped him. Jeff Teague picked right after him. Got Taj Gibson picked 26. And look at the second round. Got some notables here. Jody Meeks.
Yep.
Patrick Beverly.
Yep.
These are all fools back to back to back. Jody Meeks, Patrick Beverly, Marcus Thornton.
Chase Bunninger. Danny Green.
Danny Green. And how about for the undrafted? Wesley Matthews.
Damn.
Come on now.
I mean, it's another spur in her. Patty Mills.
There you go.
55th. Like, wow. I mean, we're saying that. Let's keep going. 2008. Derrick Rose. Yep. That was a who was it going to be? Derrick Rose, Michael Beasley. Who's it going to be?
Clearly, we know who did the smart thing.
Yeah. Michael Beasley. Well, who was a stud? Who was like, oh, okay, well, that's a great consolation prize. Not really. Not really. OJ Mayo went third. Next, Russell Westbrook went fourth. See, this is not tanking for the number one pick, number two pick. Number five, Kevin Love. And Gallinari went sixth, even though he was hurt like a motherfucker. Still, at this day, that's still a value pick.
Yep.
For six. Eric Gordon at the time, pre-injury, balling.
Brooke Lopez picked 10.
Yep. Surprising. Robin Lopez went 15th. Maurice Spates, who is having probably his best season as a role player.
Ryan Anderson went 21st.
Yep.
Serge Ibaka went 24th.
Look, Serge Ibaka went 20th. Then Nicholas Batum went 25th.
Right after him.
I was mad at that pick. I was like, damn it, he would have landed right on the Spurs. But they got George Hill anyway.
Hill picked right after him. You got Nikola Pekovic picked 31st. Mario Chalmers went 34th. DeAndre Jordan, 35th.
DeAndre Jordan, 35th.
Omir Ashik, 36th.
Yep.
And Timofey Mozgov wasn't drafted.
And I'm saying, even look at the Spurs. Goran Dragic went 45th. Balling. I'm saying.
Telling you.
Courtney Lee was 22nd. Almost Lee helped Orlando get a championship.
Yeah.
Did you see that number two pick, y'all? Look, OJ Mayo is just a role player now. That's shocking. And you keep going. 2007. Oh, this was the do I pick Greg Oden or Kevin Durant draft?
Oh, God. And,
We know who won that.
Clearly. And Kevin Durant picked number two.
Yeah. Yeah, see, if you're going to get number two, what you hope is that the team ahead of you makes the bad choice.
Exactly. Then you got Al Horford picked third, only picked fourth. This was actually a really good draft. We had Jeff Green picked fifth, Joakim Noah picked ninth, picked 12th, Rodney Stuckey 15th. I mean, you had a lot of good dudes in this draft. You got Nick Young.
Swaggy P. Bellinelli.
Bellinelli.
Pick 18th.
You got Jared Dudley, who was picked 22nd. Wilson Chandler picked right after him at 23rd. Aaron Brooks was picked at 26th. Tiago Splitter.
Yeah, but I was hoping to get Aaron Aflalo, but he was one pick ahead at 27th. Carl Landry.
Yep.
Second round pick.
Big Baby Davis, second round pick. How about this? Mark Gasol was picked 48.
I'm saying.
How about Ramon? Pick 56.
I'm talking about. People don't know. Gary Halls went 10th.
Exactly.
Who's just a robot. I mean, you're like, well, he ain't much, but I'm like, yeah, but dudes thought he was all that to pick him 10th.
But look at this. I mean, Corey Brewer picked 7th. I mean, it wasn't a terrible draft. It was a solid draft with solid pieces. You didn't have to necessarily have a number one pick.
Nope. All you want to do is you get in the top five and you can do something. Oh, this was a Yi Yan was picked 6th. That was just, yeah. Corey Brewer was a reach. The time we were like, eh.
Yeah. That was the year of that Florida squad.
Yep. Well, then Brandon Wright out of North Carolina, who's a role player. I mean, some of these dudes will last in the NBA.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys have lasted. However, if you pick it in the top 10, specifically in the top 5, I need you to be at least the third best player on my team.
Yeah.
At least. By far. Not like I'm a role player. I need you to be like, give me some help kind of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, keep going back. 2006. Oh, I mean, yeah, Johnson's going to love this one. This was Andrea Bargnani went first.
And then the infamous Bulls traded for Tyrus Thomas. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, who did they draft? LaMarcus Aldridge. Who, let's be honest, people knew he could score, but nobody knew LaMarcus Aldridge was going to be probably, you know, arguably best power forward in the game. What? 9 years later, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, Brandon Roy, even though he blew up, couldn't stay healthy.
Nope. Oh, yeah, I remember this draft. Who was number 3? Adam Morrison.
He going to be the next Larry Bird. Get out of here. Stop. Sheldon Williams went 5th.
What are he doing? Rudy Gay went 8th.
He's married to Candace Williams, or whatever, the chick from the Sparks.
Oh, snap.
That's his wife. That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, this is a lot of role play. I mean, Cephalosha went 13th.
J.J. Redick, 11th. Rudy Gay went 8th.
Yeah, but then you go down lower. Rajon Rondo, 21st.
Yep, Kyle Lowry, 24th.
I'm saying.
And I got to get – my boy Steve Novak was 32nd. And how about this? Paul Millsap was 47th. C.J. Watson was not drafted.
That's crazy. All these low picks, man. You can find some great value.
You find a lot of great
value. We naming all the people who are at least productive and give you something out of 60 people. 60 folk get drafted, and we probably get about not even a third, probably a quarter of these guys end up being serviceable to great.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. That should tell you something.
That goes to show you why the draft is such a crapshoot.
Nope. I'm saying. Yeah, we keep going even further. 2005. Andrew Bogut, who right now can't stay, who's got some knee issues this week.
Yep.
And skipping game, which is not good. And oh, yeah, this draft was funny. So this was the Atlanta. We need a point guard. Chris Paul said he wanted to play for Atlanta. So who we pick? Marvin Williams.
Then Darren Williams went right after him for Utah. Mm-hmm. And then fucking New Orleans was like, fine, we'll take Chris Paul then.
Yep, number 5 was Raymond Felton.
Ish.
Channing Frye was 8th.
Andrew Bynum, 10th.
Yep, no, I remember that.
How about this, though? Danny Granger was 17th.
Yeah, I was like, why is he falling? Yep, Gerald Green, 18th.
He didn't have enough potential.
Nope. Saw them when all these little it was the last year of the high schoolers.
Yep. And David Lee went 30th. Come on, man.
Jared Jack went 22nd. Nate Robinson 21st.
Monte Ellis went 40th.
I'm saying.
How about Gortat? He was picked 57.
That's nuts, man. Andre Blatch, who just up and down, went 49. Lou Williams, still in the league, still putting up buckets, 45th.
Yep.
That's a great pick.
Yep.
45th, and that dude is just basically a six man. Amir Johnson, who's still hanging around, 56.
Yep.
Yeah, now 56 for Amir Johnson. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that. That works. 10th? Yeah, I'm highly upset. But I mean, God, Martell Webster went 6th. Charlie Villanueva went 7th.
Oof.
Ike Diagu, oh my God. Sean May.
Oh boy.
Back to back, and Rashad McCansk. Oh my God.
Oh my. That was that North Carolina squad.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, let's see. I still got more, y'all. We going 2004. This was the do I take Dwight Howard or Mecca Okafor? Orlando lucked out. Went for the high schooler with Dwight Howard. Mecca Okafor called out. You know, a nice career for himself,
mm-hmm.
but not a number two pick. Ben Gordon had about a good 5-year run,
yep,
as a number three pick, and then was just that was it.
I mean, you had Luol Deng pick 7th. That was a quality pick.
Mm-hmm. Andre Iguodala went 9th. Yeah, Devin Harris went 5th, man. Oh, Lord.
Andres Biedrich went 11th.
Oof.
Golly.
Talk about cashing in on a career.
I mean, you got Al Jefferson. He went 15th.
Yeah, I'm solid. Josh Smith went 17th.
J.R. Smith went right after him.
Mm-hmm. Which for them is good.
They were coming out of high school at the time.
Yep. Darrell Wright, another high schooler, was 19th, who's still hanging around. Jameer Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 2004 draft, and all these dudes are like, oh, they old. Jameer Nelson's old. This is 2009. This is barely 10 years ago.
Kevin Martin, he old.
Yep. Delonte West, who liked to fuck people's mamas, 24th. Tony Allen, 25th. Great pick.
Yep.
Yeah, Kevin Martin was 26th and great. Beno Udrich was 28.
Yep. Varejao picked 30th.
God, and he's still hanging around.
Yep.
Well, Trevor Ariza, 43rd pick.
Jeez.
That is crazy.
That's nuts.
And then, you know, I even go back because I printed this one out anyway. This was probably the best draft since then, at least at the top.
The famous LeBron draft.
Yep. And Detroit was like, We
struck out.
Yep. And then even they were good then. It was like, oh, we ended up getting a lottery pick too. Oof. Hindsight.
Yeah.
Like a motherfucker. Because you was already balling.
Because, I mean, look at this. You had LeBron and then Darko.
Yep.
Had Melo, Bosch, and D-Wade.
And all they had to do was pick Melo or Bosch.
Yep, that's all they had to do.
Oh, my God. Chris Kaman went 5th. Heinrich 7th. You know, TJ Ford had a decent career.
Solid career. I mean, Michael Sweetney. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Jarvis Hayes.
Jarvis Hayes out of Georgia. I remember him.
Yeah. Nick Collinson at 12th, based on his career, that's a little high, but he's still hanging around.
Yep. You got Luke Ridnour, 14th. Yep.
David West, 18th. Great pick.
Mm-hmm.
Boris Diaw at 21. Who would have known?
Exactly. How about Carlos Delfino?
Yeah.
Career for himself. Kendrick Perkins was 27.
Yeah, he was high in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Barbosa, picked by the Spurs. Come on, man. God, didn't even play for him at 28th. Josh Howard, who was good during that little run for that early run for Dallas.
Yeah, you got Steve Blake, who was picked 38.
Yeah. Damn, Jason Capono went 31st. Luke Walton, 32nd.
Kyle Korver went 51st.
Come on, that's value pick right there. Mo Williams, 47.
Jeez.
Yeah, Matt Bonner, 45th. Yeah, Kyle Korver, 51st out of Creighton. I mean, I ain't mad at him. I mean, 51st.
Gold.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. This is over the last 10 years. And you see how many. I'm not talking about this 2003, Jeff. Out of that, how many superstar, like studs, About, how many did we name? About, I'm talking about like star, superstar potential.
Out of those drafts?
Probably 10.
Yeah, I'd say maybe 10.
Yeah, and a lot. I mean, you know, like Derrick Rose, John Wall, Irvin, Beal.
Blake Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis. I mean, Rajon Rondo, I guess.
Yeah.
Or if you want to put him up there.
So, that, I mean, we named a lot of, you know, a lot of talent. But, I mean, out of all the names that we probably mentioned as a whole, they'd probably all fit in one draft.
Yep.
So, it's you don't know. And so, this is why this whole tanking to get the first, get a good pick. If you screw the pick up, then what?
Exactly. And this is why your scouting department is so important.
It's got to be, man. It's got to be.
Yep.
And before we get out of this basketball, I had to give a shout out. Prince William and his wife attended the Cavs Nets game about a week ago.
Oh, good.
All that hoopla. I saw that awkward picture they took with LeBron James. Like, who is this guy? It just had that look. Like, just none of them wanted to take that picture.
I didn't see the picture.
Cause he's taking the picture, but he's kind of like, oh, y'all want me to take a picture? Okay, all right. You know, she's just in the middle, kind of like, who was this dude? It was just awkward. I'm like, okay, photo op time.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, man. All right, y'all. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back, get into some quick college football, some MLB, and our awards. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Be sure to check us out on BlackIsOnline.com.
All right, y'all, we back. Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. So let us know, man, what you think about this NBA talk, these past drafts. Do you want the Lakers to suck enough to get a top five pick for who? I don't know. Anybody exactly. That's going to make a difference?
They getting Jahlil Okafor. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. You're going to have to be real bad for that. You're like, ooh, look, now what? Now we got a nice future. Now let's wait for Kobe to leave.
There it is.
So let us know what you thought via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter @brotherslayman, or on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts, and anything y'all want to dish out to us, let us know.
Holla. All right, some quick news, college football-wise. I know all the games are already set. Wisconsin's head coach Gary Anderson decided to leave to coach Oregon State. I was a little surprised by that.
I was too.
You know, Wisconsin is the better program.
Yes.
You know, one of the better in a Big Ten conference that is pretty butt.
Yeah.
To go to, you know, Oregon State, which is, you know, not a top five program in a difficult Pac-12. But from what everybody's sounding like, I think like it's less restrictions at Oregon State. Wisconsin's pretty tough to get in. You know, we had a cousin who went there, so, you know, it ain't the easiest place to get in.
Yeah.
And, you know, tougher conference maybe. And probably, I think one spot I heard that maybe it's the money that they can pay his assistants. I think Wisconsin was pretty tight on, you know, paying his assistants some pretty good money. So all of that, he's like, hey, I'm out.
And from what I've heard, he's originally from – I guess the West Coast area.
Okay.
So, I mean, I believe that played a role in it as well. I mean, it's a big change.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to Oregon from snowy cold Wisconsin. I mean, it's still a little cold in Oregon, of course, but.
Not like that.
Yeah, not like that. Completely different on the West Coast. And, you know, who knows what went into his decision. But, you know, wish him the best and good luck.
Yeah, man, all he's doing is making the Pac-12 that much more competitive,
yep.
Which is fine with me.
Exactly.
Maybe we'll move past the SEC at some point. I don't know. Speaking of the SEC, Florida former Florida coach Will Muschamp accepts the defensive coordinator job at Auburn. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. Not a bad place to fall after, you know, struggling to be the head coach at Florida. I heard a lot of people still have faith in him, though, that he could still be a good coach. I heard he had actually a head coach offer from, forget the name of the school. But I'm sure he wanted to just kind of take some time and, you know, get back to just being a coordinator. And then, you know, at that point, build himself back up and then, you know, give it another shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that's going to work. I mean, look at Lane Kiffin, Alabama. Yep. He went to Alabama. I mean, people were like, get the hell out at SC.
Exactly.
You suck as a coach. Went to Alabama. You know, Alabama's number one team in the country. Offense is looking popping. And people are going to be like, hey, Lane Kiffin, come on back. We want you. I mean, it works. I mean, you know, you get less pressure. You still have the top program.
Yep.
And, you know, just take a few years, get you a nice little check, you know, learn some things, get some chops up, and then come back and who knows where you're going to land.
Exactly. And he still gets to stay in the SEC.
Yeah. And then we head over to the MLB where, I mean, it was all about money time. Get that money sign.
Show me the money.
Seriously.
Let's take a look. John Lester, who was the big catch of the offseason, signs a 6-year, $155 million deal to go to the Cubs.
Ridiculous. I think getting like $30 million as a signing bonus.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. I mean, it was like Irvin Santana signs a 4-year, $55 million deal with the Twins.
Is this why you need to be a damn baseball player?
Yep, because you get guaranteed money and they give you gang of years. Like if they want to get rid of the salary cap in basketball, you know what? If you want to raise due salary, that's fine. But I do like keeping it. I like the short contracts.
Yeah,
I don't want to go back to giving niggas 8 years. I don't like that. If you make the max 5 years, that 5 years comes by quick.
Yeah.
I like that. This here, you like 7 years. Okay. Because then after year two, if you were bust, at least you could be like, well, he only got 2 years left.
Exactly. Like,
oh, he's sucking. We got 5 more years of this.
The thing with baseball, though, it seems is that cats just eat up that money.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just eat up half his salary. Okay.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, you know, granted, these guys can play for 20 years.
Yeah.
But still. You know, the Mariners signed third baseman Kyle Seager to a 7-year, $100 million extension and give Nelson Cruz 4-year, $57 million.
Damn.
I'm saying, with Diamondback signed 24-year-old Cuban slugger Yasmani Tomas, however it's pronounced, to a 6-year, $68.5 million deal. I don't even think he's played yet.
No.
Nope, he's just a prospect.
They're basically banking that he's going to do what Jose Abreu did last year with the White Sox.
And then Red Sox sign Hanley Ramirez, 4-year, $88 million deal. And third, and Pablo Sandoval, 5-year, $95 million. God.
Selling you play some baseball.
I'm telling you.
Because, geez, the freaking wheeze, you can get paid.
And, you know, of course, the big news, I'm saying, dude, this is ridiculous. I'm like, my son got an arm. I'm like, and my father-in-law loves baseball. Like, let's get him in it. He likes it.
Don't wear him out.
Nah, man, nah. There ain't no year-round camps and all that. Like, nah, bro, you taking the summer off. You resting that arm. I don't care. Like, no, you're going to skip this camp.
Yeah.
Need a break.
Exactly.
And, of course, the big news out here in L.A., Dodgers have traded Matt Kemp to the Padres. And what my follow-up is pissed about D. Gordon to the Marlins.
Yep.
Added Jimmy Rollins from the Phillies and Howie Kendrick from the Angels.
Man. And signed Brandon McCarthy to a 4-year, 40-something million dollar contract. It was a flurry of deals for the Dodgers.
They're trying to make some moves, man. I think, the new GM comes in and just realizes, like, look, the power game is not what's going to win you a World Series. It's pitching and defense.
And he got some of the better ones. I mean, I like Jimmy Rollins. I like Jimmy Rollins for a long time. I think he'll be a really good shortstop for them. I also liked Howie Kendrick from the Angels. Another guy that I liked for a while. I think he'll do a good job replacing D. Gordon at second base. I mean, trading Matt Kemp, they had to clear out their logjam at the outfield. Somebody was going to go. And from what I know, they're still trying to trade another one.
Yeah, I think they want to, you know, prefer the Ethier and whatnot. But, you know, you knew you would get more with Matt Kemp.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just always them rumors about him getting along with Yasiel Puig, who is the new star of the team.
Yep.
So, hey, man, I mean, this MLB offseason, you know, I'm hoping for the Dodgers. I mean, you got to do something to fix it. You know, get some of that, you know, sell high on D. Gordon. I mean, yes, these guys were part of your farm system and came up, and you hate to see these fan favorites go, but you like, yeah, you're like, as long as we winning.
Exactly.
We win a World Series, you ain't nobody complaining.
Well, man,
God, man, all of them, God, them numbers is high.
Show me the money.
All right, y'all. Let's wrap things up. Let's get into this award time. Let's always start off with the Noice Award.
Noice, Noice, Noice.
Noice, Noice.
All right, man. Who you got for your Noice Award?
All right, for mine, my Noice Award is going to Incarnate Word, which is a school, a Division I basketball school, who beat Nebraska 74-73 this past Wednesday.
Damn.
Yeah, they're currently, you ain't never heard of them. That's because they were a Division II school, and they're currently transitioning to Division I this season. And they're 6-1, surprisingly. So, I mean, again, giving shout-outs to some of these schools you've never heard of who are really showing that they can compete with some of these schools. Because I saw a little headline. It was like, Incarnate Word, it's a 3 to beat Nebraska. I thought they were talking about a specific player. And then I was like, oh, that's a school. Oh. So, yeah, shout out to them for, you know, shocking Nebraska. And, again, some of these unknowns are kicking these teams' asses.
I know they are, man. I'm like, wow. Mine is going to go to, especially for the basketball, I'm going to have to give it to James Harden. He went off for 44 points.
Jeez.
I was like, damn. Let's see. He had officially 44 points, 4 boards, 8 assists, 3 steals, and a block. 14-32, 13-15 from the free throw. Balling.
Yeah, seriously balling. I mean, geez Louise. Got to give love to James Harden. He's doing his thing. He's carrying that squad while Dwight Howard's out.
No, he has been. And, go ahead.
I got real quick Noice Award to the Golden State Warriors, who after beating Dallas today have now won 15 straight games.
They're killing it, man.
They are murdering.
Making it hard. They're going to make people work to catch up.
That is real.
And my other one, I'm going to give it to John Wall. You know, pays emotional tribute to his young friend, Maya Telemach Nelson, 6-year-old who had befriended, who died of cancer. Who I've been writing Rest in Peace, Maya, and just being a friend of her. I mean, this is kind of the good stuff that, guys do. These players, dude, I don't really get no love. And shout out to him for enduring all this crap that Colin Cowherd was talking early in his career, who was like, he ain't never going to win a title and all this bull crap. You know, hey, he's just like, you know what, I'm just going to learn my game. And he's gotten better and has matured.
Yes, he has.
This is why after like 2 or 3 years in the league, you can't write dudes off.
Completely.
Exactly. You know? So exactly. Shout out to him. All right, and of course, we got to go to our what the fuck moment.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
Mine is going to, give yours first.
All right, for sure. For mine, it's going, I actually got two of them. Well, one is going, this is the most serious one. It's going to Oklahoma State Junior. I guess they call him Offensive Weapon. Tyreek Hill, who was charged with domestic violence on Thursday night. Apparently, his girlfriend called the police from the emergency room and said she was struck in the face, stomach, and was choked by him. And currently, Hill was dismissed from the Oklahoma State team. So, looks like they said he may enter the draft this year.
But the way the NFL is right now, he probably ain't getting drafted after this shit.
No, he ain't. Not the way, not stuff like that.
Mm-mm. And then just a quick one. It's kind of more funny than what the fuck. But during the Dallas and Golden State game today, there was a point in the game where Maurice Spates lost his shoe. Stephen Curry was coming up the court to get the shoe. He tossed it back to Maurice Spates, and Tyson Chandler swatted that shit into the stands and said, fuck. He tried to toss to him. Tyson Chandler was like, nope. And then you had Golden State looking confused, like, can he do that? And so they had to call a timeout, and it was just funny. So if any of you guys get a chance, please watch that clip because it is hilarious.
I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch that. For my player, I got to give it up. I have to give it up to my team. And Tony Parker came back Friday, and I lost to the Lakers. Played 18 minutes, 5 points, 2 assists, 1 steal. 205. I don't know. I mean, he was riding Corey Joseph. Corey Joseph was balling.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh my God, come on, Barker. Come on. You got to do something. And another one goes out to the Rams organization. You know, the players was on the North Shore last week. With this shooting this week, the Rams organization makes a donation to a police charity. And I think this is in lieu of the police coming out and saying what they said about the players. I'm like, man, really? So you're going to make this slide donation? Like, oh, I'm sorry. Here's some money in your pocket. You know, we sorry. Like, come on. Ain't no need for all that. Y'all got to be smarter than that, man. That ain't cool.
Yeah. People just trying to take a stand. That's all.
Mm-hmm. You know, I see everybody trying to take a stand. You've seen how, I'm proud of guys rocking these T-shirts. And we did say last week, you know, although it ain't no big deal, I have to say Derrick Rose wore it first.
Yep.
Because every time I see the I Can't Breathe T-shirt, the first name I see is LeBron James.
Yeah.
Well, you know who like LeBron James, and then like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And I don't say anything, but yes, Derrick Rose did it first. And, you know, he and Derrick Rose don't want no pub for it. And that's why I like me some Derrick Rose.
Nope.
But again, shout out to, and I saw this today, shout out to the Notre Dame women's team, basketball team. They were rocking them shirts today as well.
No, a lot of people have. So, that you know, that's good to see. Yeah. I'm curious to see it. But all right, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. You know, there's a lot of shows out there that y'all could be tuning in to listen to. So we appreciate y'all tuning in to us. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Subscribe on iTunes. Add us to your favorites on Stitcher. You know, leave us a review if you can. We do love the 5-star kind. Give us a thumbs up on Stitcher. You can also find us on our website, blackisonline.com. If you want to reach out to us directly, you can. We are on Twitter at Brothers Layman. You can hit us up via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219. We will read any of your correspondence on the show. We appreciate any comments and feedback that y'all give.
Yeah, definitely want to thank y'all for tuning in to us for the first time listeners. Thank you for catching up with us and tuning in to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. For the long time listeners, want to thank you for staying with us for the long haul. We definitely appreciate you guys. And please go ahead and tell all your loved ones, tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews, grandparents, and all that good stuff. Go ahead and tell your chickens, dogs, cats, and roosters. Let's see who we got this week. Tell your bears. Tell your rhinoceroses, your hippopotamus, tell your porcupines, tell Bambi, tell everybody. Yeah, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan. We'll be giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
When I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. remember some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the day
when I was just a little nigger, oh, I looked up to my bigger bro, begged if I could kick it. So when he went out with girls, I could go tagging along, nagging. If she had a sis, maybe could mac a baby hood rat. Y'all remember way back then when it was 1985, all the way live. I think I was about 10. One of those happy little niggas singing the blues that be always trying to bag with the shag and karate shit. Saying, yo mama black, his mama this, his mama that. Then he get mad and wanna scrap. We stay mad about 10 minutes, then it's like back on a bike to play hide and go get it with the younger hoes by the bungalows. Then switch to playing ding dong ditch when that gets old and too cold to hack it. Threw on a bomber jacket. You could tell the ballers cause they fell wearing gazelles. If they really had money raised, we sport knee case. And all the girls had they Turkish link. If it broke, then they made earrings to it, like they meant to do it. But sometimes I still sit and reminisce then think about the years I was raised. Back in the day,
back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid.
And everybody
say, I remember way back when.
I'm still back in the days, but now the year is 87, 88. That's when my crew and I were in junior high in seventh grade. I hated school.
Wish it had blown up.
No doubt I couldn't wait to get out
and be a grown up.
But let me finish this reminiscing and telling about when girls were spelling tight corduroys like for the boys, basket weaves, Nike Cortez and footsie socks, and eating pickles with Tootsie Pops. And it don't stop. I'm glad because when JJ Fad did Supersonic, it was kind of like a sport to wear biker shorts or to wear jeans. And it seemed like the masses of hoochies had poison airbrushed on their asses. Dudes had on Nike suits and the Pumas with the fat laces, cause it was either that or K-Swiss. I missed those days, and so I pout like a grown jerk, wishing all I had to do now was finish homework. It's true, you don't realize really what you got till it's gone. And I'm not gonna sing another sad song, but sometimes I do sit and reminisce then think about the years I was raised.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid.
And everybody
back in the
say,
days
I
when I was young, I'm not
when.
A kid anymore. But some days
say,
I sit and wish I was a kid.
And everybody
back in the
say,
days when I was young, I'm not
when.
A kid anymore. But some days
when.
I sit and wish I was
day.
A kid.
And everybody say,
I remember way back when.
And everybody say,
I remember way back when.
And everybody say,
I remember way back when.
What?
Back in the days.
When?
Back in the days.
Well, it's the niggero. I figure that now I'm all grown up because I'm 18 years old. And guess you could say I'm holding down a steady job and crew steady mobbing. You steady bobbing your head and I'm paid, so I got it made. But didn't always have clout. Used to live in South Central LA. That's where I stayed and figured a way out. I gave it all I had, so for what it's worth, I went from rags to riches, which is a drag. But now I'm first, so
hard in the nose. Way up.
Yeah, we said that we was gonna make it since a kid, and we finally did. But sometimes I still sit and reminisce, then think about the years I was raised. Back in the day,
back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid.
And everybody
back in the
say,
days when I was young, I'm not
when.
A kid
and everybody
anymore. But
say,
some days I sit and wish I was
when.
A kid.
And everybody
back in
say,
the days
I
when I was young,
back
I'm not
when.
A kid anymore.
Back
but
in
some
the
days
when.
I sit and wish
back
I was
day.
A kid.
And everybody
back
say,
in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid.
And everybody say,
I remember way back when.
And everybody
back in
say,
the days
I
when I was
way
young,
back
I'm not
when.
A kid anymore.
Back
but
in
some
the
days,
days
I sit and wish I was a kid.
And everybody
back in
say,
I remember
when I was
way
young,
back
not
when.
And everybody
but
say,
some days,
I remember
I sit
way back
was
when.
And everybody
back
say,
I remember way back when.
What?
Back in the days I sit.